All right, Luke chapter 16, if you would, please, Luke 16. And we're going to continue to talk about our commitment to the one who owns it all, if you will. That's our God. And tonight we're going to talk about our commitment to the tithe. This is a very common thing, okay? I understand that. How many of you know what the tithe is? All right, okay? But we're just going to kind of see how committed we are to it, all right? Now, I can go look at the giving records and see how committed you are to it, but that's not what I'm really talking about. I'm just talking about how we really feel about it, okay? You might write that tithe check every week, but are you doing it really with the right motivation and the right attitude and the right mindset of your commitment to the tithe, okay? So we're going to talk about that. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, just the first 13 verses here of Luke chapter 16, and I'll read them out loud. You follow along silently as we read tonight. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make unto yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So once again, we kind of look at this thing of commitment. And I just want you to, I read this out of Luke 16 because this is where we're trying to get the attitude, that the master is the one that we need to be focused on, okay? They're his goods. It's all his. And we say we own things, right? But really, we're just the managers of those things, okay? How many of you realize that everything, literally everything you have, can be gone tomorrow? Okay, it's possible. My mom actually called me today, and we were talking about some things, and she wanted me to know that her brother, I guess I should have mentioned that, pray for my uncle, Kevin, and his wife, Anita, their house burned this last week. So, you know, you just don't know if that's going to happen. I'm without my truck. Okay, God, I'm without God's truck. I'm trying, God. I didn't expect for that to happen. When you get to have something for 15 years, you don't expect to just all of a sudden not have it. And by the way, I've missed my truck. Can anybody relate? No sympathy, violins playing or anything like that? Come on. Okay, never mind. All right, now, no, but we need to focus on the owner, on God. These are his things, and this is important. Now, as we closed last week, I read a passage to you, and I just want to highlight it because this really needs to be our attitude. As David prayed, remember he said, he blessed the Lord before the congregation, and he said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer? Now, listen here. We're getting into the tithe and why we need to have a commitment to it and to the God of it. He says, the people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Okay, so if you want to mark that passage in scripture, that is the really the heart of tithing and giving. It's all his, and who are we to really, who are we to just give him back of what's his? You know, David had that right attitude. And don't forget that David was a man after God's own heart. So you understand that he had this thing right. Of all the things that maybe he didn't have right, he had this one right. Okay? And so we need to consider what the scriptures have to say about the tithe. Okay? So you have to understand that the first mention of tithing is actually found in Genesis, right? We studied this in our Sunday school class in the book of Genesis. We didn't really focus on it so much, but because, you know, there's a lot to cover in a time. But in Genesis 14, right after Abraham rescues Lot and, you know, takes care of all that that's going on, he meets up with an interesting character, we'll just leave it at that, called Melchizedek. Okay? And here's what the Bible has to say about that in Genesis 14 and in Hebrews chapter 7. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. By the way, Abram was not the possessor of heaven and earth. God is. Okay, that's the right attribution to that particular clause there. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Okay, that's the first mention of that word tithe and tithes in the scriptures. All right? So we hear about that in the New Testament. Same story, if you will. Here's the record. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest to the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Okay, so we're not told that in the story in Genesis 14. You understand that, right? Okay, in Genesis 14, it doesn't say that he gave the tenth part, but he did say he gave tithes of all, but Hebrews says it was the tenth part. So that helps us understand what this is. And so he says that he gave the tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, neither having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now, consider how great this man was,
unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of the brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them that received tithes of Abraham, blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men die, men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Okay, so there's a lot there to unpack in Hebrews, but really I'm just focusing on this word tithe and that it's a tenth. Okay, so we're told that by definition of the scriptures. Now, we also learned just recently, actually I think last week, remember that Jacob continued this commitment in tithes. Okay, we don't see that necessarily Isaac did. It's not recorded. Does that mean he didn't? No, it doesn't mean that he didn't, okay? So we're seeing a precedent here in Genesis 28. Remember when Jacob leaves, right? He has that vision of the ladder, right? And everything's going up and down in the ladder, and God recommits to him. And he calls the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be the God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me. Now here, listen to this. I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, again, this is the second time this is mentioned in Scripture. Okay? So obviously it was something passed on from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. This giving of the tithe. And by the way, in Genesis 14, with Abram, we're not told that it's a tenth. But here we're told in chapter 28 that it's the tenth. Okay? We're also told by the definition of the story in Hebrews that it's the tenth. Okay? Now, so as we get through Abraham, as we get through Jacob, we continue to Moses. Okay, so now in Leviticus, in Numbers, in 2 Chronicles, in Nehemiah, in Malachi, in Amos, in different parts of the scriptures, it talks about the tithe. So as God kind of, if you want to say, incorporates his people, right? Under Moses, Moses is the one that gives out the law, right? Everybody understands that, okay? That's how that all works. Well, the tithe is incorporated into this, okay? I don't have time to read all of these passages of Scripture today, but you can look at Leviticus 27, you can look at Numbers 18, you can look at 2 Chronicles 31, Nehemiah 10, Nehemiah 12, Nehemiah 13, and there's many more. Or you can just, in your Bible search engine thing, type the word tithe. You're going to come up with several things. And then don't forget to type in the word tithes, plural, okay? You could type that in too, and you'll come up with another 20 or so passages of Scripture, okay? But here's the gist of it. I'll read out of Leviticus so you can understand. He says, and the tithe of and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Okay, so that's the part I want to focus on. So you understand that God says the tenth part is the Lord's. Okay, so the tenth part of what? Okay, now we learn in Scripture that it's the tenth part of our increase. Okay, so what we increase, that's what the tithe is. All right. So let me just ask you a question. If God allows $10 to come into your life, what have you increased? $10. Okay. Now, does it matter if you've had to pay taxes out of that increase? No. Okay? Does it matter if you had to pay bills out of that increase? No. Okay? Does it matter if you had to pay debts out of that increase? No. Not at all, right? Did you increase $10 or not? Okay? You say yes, but no, because I spent it all. Well, that's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about just a flat old increase, okay? So God gets a dollar of that. So guess how much you have to work with? 9, not 10, all right? So what I'm trying to help us understand is if we will have a commitment to the tithe, that means that we always give that tithe. And we don't ever not give it. Because we're committed to the one who gave us the 10 in the first place. And all he's asking for in return is 1. See, that's why I kind of like the tithe. It's really great mathematically. Okay? You just move the decimal place. That's all you got to do. It's fantastic. Anna's not here. I can't pick on her. Her and Maggie had the hardest time with decimal places and rounding and all that stuff. I don't know why. I tried my best. I tried to teach them 1,700 different ways, give or take. Some of you got that. Okay. Rounding. Okay, never mind. All right. That was a stretch. But here's the thing. What he says in Leviticus, it's the Lord's. Okay? Now, I'm going to continue in verse 30. It is holy unto the Lord. Okay, it's holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is something that God says, this is important to me. All right? By the way, even though it's not introduced to us, really, as a kind of a rule and way of life, except for one mention in Abram's life, one mention in in Jacob's life, right? And then all of a sudden it shows up here in the law, okay? But obviously it was something important because those men knew what it was and knew that it was important, and they knew that God was the one that owned everything. And so really, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, if you will. I want to say this, and I want to stop here and say this right now. As your pastor, I'm very proud of this local church. Okay, in the right way. And I mean that, okay? I get to see the giving records. Okay? This is a very giving church. And you know what? Almost all of you are participating in this. And it's great. You know, a lot of churches may have less than 50% of the people giving of tithes and offerings in the local church. We're well above that. And I'm thankful for that. But I want everybody to experience the blessings. And here's what I want us to understand. This thing of tithing is not a matter of opinion. Okay? It's a matter of fact. And there are blessings associated with it. And there are curses associated with not doing it. Okay? So, this is not a message that's based on opinion. This is a message that's based on fact. And if we will put God first in our tithes and offerings, then we will be blessed because of that. That's a fact. Okay? Absolute fact. And I'm thankful that I was taught this at an early age. And I've been able to do this my whole life. I'm thankful for that. Because I don't have time to read it tonight, but there's a part here in the one here. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, in other words, you're not going to pay your tithes, he says, for a while, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. So there's actually a penalty for not paying your tithes. How many of you knew that? that's in the law. I mean, that's in the scriptures. Okay? So, but we need to be committed to this thing of the tithe. Now, in Malachi, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Malachi, in chapter 1, God gives the problem and what's going on. He says, for from the rising of the sun even unto the going down, this is verse 11, of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it. What's the it? His name. Okay? They profaned God's name. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, which was not to be done. By the way, I didn't have time to read all of that in Leviticus, but it talks about what offerings and what tithes were supposed to be brought. In other words, if a farmer had a field and he had 100 parts of the field, and he brings 10 parts to God. Okay, y'all did your math, right? Okay? He brings 10 parts to God, but he brings the stuff that is diseased and not worth anything. You know, is it still 10 parts? Yeah. So I might as well keep the 8 parts, or the 80 part, or sorry, 90 parts that are good. You know, because God's not going to eat those 10 parts of grain. So I'll just give him the leftovers. Or if I have 10 lambs and one of them has a bad leg, I'll just give the one with the bad leg to God. Because the 9, I could use those, and you know, God's not going to care if it has a bad leg or not, you know, because God loves all the animals, you know. Do you see the mentality? Well, that's what Israel fell into, that mentality. But don't Christians fall into that mentality? And they give God of the leftovers. There's a principle in Scripture called the first fruits. Okay? So the tithe is supposed to come from the first fruits of all thine increase. Okay? That's what the Scripture tells us. And so the first fruits are not just the ones that come off first. The first fruits are the best ones. Okay, that's the cream of the crop, if you will. Okay? And that's what God deserves. Now, I didn't read to you in Numbers, but in Numbers 18 it talks about who receives those 10th parts. Well, that was the portion for the Levites. And guess what? Should the priests, the ones that didn't get any land to grow their own crops, the ones that didn't get any land to raise their own cattle, shouldn't they get good stuff too? And maybe shouldn't they get the best stuff? And that's what God set it up that way. It makes complete sense. Okay? And so he's rebuking them here in Malachi, and he tells them, look, you've done this, you've brought that which is torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. And he says this, should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now that's Malachi chapter 1. Most people don't read that in association with talking about the tithe. But then in Malachi 3, this is the one everybody knows. Okay? He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So he tells them a solution. Right? Remember when Solomon was praying and he talked to God, he said, God, if we go away, but if we come back, right? Then we have that great verse, right? About the people coming back and humbling themselves before God and seeking his face, and then he will heal their nation, and then he will heal their land, right? God says, return. Return unto me. He says, come back. He says here, you're cursed, but he says, I'm going to give you the solution. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall he your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay? Now, does God care about this thing of the tithe? Yes, he does. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not really convinced of that, or I don't know what I could say to convince you any more than what these scriptures have to say. If God says something's holy, and something is his, and something is special, and that if we follow it, there's a blessing, and if we don't follow it, there's a curse, I'm going to pay attention. Why? Because it's in my benefit to do so. There are people who don't pay attention to this, or don't follow this, and just give God a token every once in a while. Oh, God, I'll put 20 bucks in the offering plate. You know, God will be happy with that. Can I quote something for you that I just read? Where'd it go? Oh, should I accept this of your hand? ? Saith the Lord. Should he? I'm just asking. Probably not. Because it's not just about the act of giving, although that's the culmination of it. It's the commitment part. It's me deciding that, you know, that $10 that I got was all his. And if he could give me $10, right? He could help me live off of 9 of those dollars. Because they're all his anyways. And if I'm his, because am I not bought with a price? I am. And so if I'm his and he loves me, and it's all of this material stuff is his, and he gives some of it my way to take care of, I can take care of everything I need on the 9 and make sure he gets the 1. Because that's going to be blessed. Even if I starve, it'll be blessed. But here's the problem we get into. The reason we have a problem is, first of all, because we're not committed to the master. We're an unjust steward. We've mismanaged what he's given us to manage. And now when that check comes in and that money comes to us, we have cumbered ourselves about by this bill and this bill and this bill and this bill and this bill. And we look at our checkbook and we say, or we look at our online screen and say, I don't have enough to pay the tithe. That's because we're committed to the things that we've purchased or that we've mismanaged, and we're not committed to the one who owns it all. That's how these things link together. And again, I could teach you way much more about the tithe. I have several more points, and I may do it next week. I don't know. But I think you already know that part. I know Pastor Raspberry, I'm sure, did a great job of teaching you about the tithes and the offerings. So I'm not telling you anything new today, okay? All I'm trying to do is link that truth with our hearts and with our minds, so that we're committed to the one that owns it all. And if you will, out of the $10, we're committed to the one that's his. I learned a long time ago that I don't touch that one. I'm scared. Y'all know me. I'm not very fearful in anything. Okay? But I am scared to touch God's money. I'm scared to death of it. That's why you will never find me mismanaging any church finances, because I'm scared God will kill me. And I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. I will never mismanage a penny of the church's money, because I just know God will kill me dead. And I'm afraid of that. Okay? It's not that I'm afraid of going to heaven or anything, but I'd like to minister here as long as God wants me to. But I learned a long time ago that, so do you understand my sentiment that I'm committed to that? So when I get 10, I don't have 10, I have 9. There's an automatic subtraction that happens in my brain that he didn't give me 10, he gave me 9. How many of you have I practice this. I have an amount of money that I don't have. You know what I mean? That cushion in your check. Any of you practice that? So like if I deposited $1,000, I only have $900. Because that $100 doesn't exist. It exists, but it doesn't exist. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get the semantics of that? Okay. Anybody bank like that? You have that? I'm the only weirdo that does that? Okay, I guess I am. I think it's a great practice. You should all try it. Because then when you get to zero in your checking account, you're really at 100. You know? I guess it's kind of like the guy that sets his watch 5 minutes fast. I mean, you know it, but you don't know it, you know. So you're always early to things. You need to practice that? Yeah, but you'd still say, no, I got 5 more minutes. Some of us would say, oh, I still have $100 in my bank account, right? You know, but no, I mean, it's a mentality, because it goes back to last week's message that it's all his. And David's sentiment, God, we're just giving you of what belongs to you. And that's the least we can do. And so as you think about that, I also want to let you know that Jesus taught about the tithe. You know, he fussed at the Pharisees for a lot of things. But he wasn't saying that them giving of the tithe was a bad thing. He just says you give of the tithe, but then you don't take care of the more important things. But that didn't mean that the tithe wasn't important. He was saying, look, you're doing things that are important, but you're missing the heart of it. And here, that's the kind of thing I'm kind of getting to, is that okay, you may give of your tithes and offerings, but are you missing the heart of it? Or you may say, yeah, I'm giving to God all that I can, but are you missing the real heart of it? And the heart of it is that commitment to the one who owns it all. It's his. And we need to be committed to it. Our love for Christ is why we should give back to him. That should be our motivation. Remember, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, not one that gives out of necessity. Right? It's not because we have to give the tithe. It's because we want to give the tithe. Now, it is a command. It is his. And if you give it, you'll be blessed. And if you withhold it, you'll be cursed. Those are the cold, hard facts. But let's get beyond the facts and get to the heart of the matter and be committed to the one who owns it all.